And I think the matter of, we have been talking about the matter of the suffering, but we don't want to also lose sight of the matter of death and burial, because it is mentioned there. It is part of the gospel, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and he was buried, and he rose again. And you have the death and the burial in verse 9. And exactly how the scripture described that would take place. This is important. We talked about the ashes. The work is finished. When he said it is finished, it's done. He gave up the spirit and he bowed his head. I dare to say, it wasn't the storm that bowed down his head. He bowed his head. Due respect for hymn writers. I'm not doing anything. But sometimes you have to think a little bit. It wasn't the storm really. He bowed his head. It was in complete control of everything. The work is completely done. Again, we always say, how do you find out if somebody's dead? His head is down. No, the Lord Jesus gave up the spirit and then bowed the head. Complete control of everything from the beginning to the end. And then he died. And that's really important because death came in as a result of sin. And he entered into the domain of death. He bound the strong man. He spoiled his good. He annulled death. Death has no power over the believers anymore. It's a means now to transport us to his place, to glory. But he conquered not only the matter of sin in his atonement, but the matter of death. And he took the power of him who has the power of death.
Right.
The greatness of the work of the Lord Jesus. And yet, he was buried for 3 days. His body was laid in the ground, according to the scripture. Because the scripture, as we have heard already, have mentioned that it must be fulfilled to the T. Because as a result of that, because death was not the end of it, neither was burial. That does not really, Isaiah 53 doesn't speak about the resurrection, but it does somehow because he speaks about the fruit. He speaks about the seed. He speaks about the dividing of the spoil. He's speaking about all of that happened as a result because he's no longer on the cross. He's no longer in the grave. He is risen indeed.
He shall see.
Yeah.
The points that Ben made are so precious. To realize that in that act of God sending him into this world and the work that he has completed, God now has a righteous basis to receive the likes of you and me. But more than this, I believe that Isaiah 53 speaks to the Jews and to the world to come. And then into eternity. All that we see here is that the universe is going to be brought back under God's control and give pleasure to God because of the work that the Lord Jesus has done. This work is what God needed to restore to himself what the Lord Jesus did not take away.
Ephesians 1:9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him.
Because of the work of Christ.
Right.
I have a question, and I'm sorry.
I just got a quick comment that is coming to me from all that we are saying. If we grasp what we are talking about today, in this session, you realize that when we present the gospel to people, we have to make it clear that all of our judgment was placed on Christ. That's it. The other thing that comes to my mind too is that, therefore, this is an affront to God for anybody to try to approach him for any other means, whether it's a work of man or any other option. There's no other option. It has to come through the Lord Jesus. I realize it's a total affront to God.
And if I can just tell the saints at your own leisure, read these verses carefully. I'm just going to take them selectively from 10, 11, and 12. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Verse 11. He shall see the fruit of the travail of his soul. And verse 12. He will divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul. Brethren, what a holy ground. In every verse, there is something in relationship to his soul. But yet the sweetest thing for someone that have come to Calvary to read that verse, because he has borne the sin of many. The sin. We're not talking about the sin of the world, but the sin of many. I would like to suggest something, and brethren, don't stone me, but think about it. That everyone is responsible in relationship to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. And earlier you said, the worst sin that ever committed, if I can use that term, was crucifying the Lord Jesus. Bearing the sin of many is that the Lord Jesus have bore the sin of those that came to him in relationship to his own crucifixion. Because that sin here is not the sin of the world, and that sin here is not your sins and my sins. It is in a particular act of sin that he bore the sin of many, and we thank him for that.
Could we perhaps sing a verse of a hymn at a time? 413, verse 1.